talking about for quite some time contending for childlike faith, that the commentary in Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 would not be said of us. That's Jesus could do very little there because of their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. It had nothing to do with his ability to do things. It had to do with their doubt. And so what we're doing is we're opening ourselves up to the Lord dismantling our wall of doubt. And we all have that. We all struggle with it. One of the things I think the Lord has been doing this, separate from the message, is he's teaching us to put down our adult sophistication in worship. Just to get over ourselves. He's going to give you as much as you're willing to receive. Receive. There are certain people in here that I know, they're just open receptacles to receive what God has for them. And you can sense it. And he wants that for every one of us, just to take down those things that stand in the way of him. And we've been talking about embracing this adventure and how Jesus, how throughout the Gospels, particularly we're looking at and we'll consider today the triumphal entry, but he would show them what life was like in the kingdom, both in the words and the circumstances that were orchestrated. And we talked about six elements. One of the words we used was diversity. That this blessed diversity of men and women, Jew and Greek and Gentile, and how rich that is, and how if we don't contend for it, and if we're not intentional about it, then all of a sudden it won't be there, because we'll follow our nature, which is to hang out with people like us. You know, I met this pastor. We got to spend some time with this pastor from Greensboro, North Carolina, and they came. They're looking at maybe starting a Restoration Academy there, and this pastor, they have a mixed church, and he challenged his church one day. He said, I want everyone in here to go and establish a cross-cultural relationship. Be intentional about it. Pursue it. That's what life is like in the kingdom. We stood out on the corner of 43rd and Lloyd Nolan Parkway a few nights ago, me and Jonathan, Ted Harville, and Mr. Stonewall. And just I left that conversation. I know Jonathan did as well, going, this is rich. Laughed, talked about community, ministered to one another, all of that good stuff. These two older African-American men, these two young white Caucasian guys, a landscaper, a trucker, a graphic designer, and an educator. And just that rich moment of feeding off of that diversity, all the unique backgrounds, and being intentional about that. I mean, that's where our life is rich and the kingdom is advanced. And it's really declared to the world because it becomes a picture of what worship is going to be like in heaven. We've talked about desperation, crying out to the Lord. And specifically, you know, when we did the healing service, which we will do again sometime, in Luke chapter 11, verse 10, where, and you don't have to turn there, but look at it later. It's just this beautiful passage where Jesus has taught the Lord's Prayer, and then he says, this is how I want you to pray. And he gives this description of a very unorthodox, persistent knocking and seeking. Middle of the night, banging on someone's door. Just totally out of the realm of the way you're supposed to do things. And it's just like the Lord says, just cry out to me in desperation. Continue to do that, even as Bridget was saying, continue to cry out for your healing and your wholeness and the life of the Christ to be full in you. And that desperation, we're all in such great need. We talked about division and how that abandoning yourself to Christ, you'll have to abandon certain relationships along the way. That's a difficult part of the gospel, that he came to bring a sword. And sometimes we have to let relationships go, or we have to redefine some boundaries. Those are tough things. We had the very difficult task this past week, or maybe it was a little over a week ago, of expelling three students from Restoration Academy. And one of them in particular, grown up in a Christian home, Christian parents, and I just wish that I could have gotten to him at some point, because he was the impressionable kid, the one that wouldn't let relationships go and just allowed himself to be taken to that place. So important, young people, that you will be very intentional about who you allow to influence you. Very important that God raise up biblical friends for you. We talked about danger. And how Jesus he allowed himself to be driven to the edge of the cliff. And he was just saying to the disciples, This is part of the great adventure. You got to be willing to embrace some danger. I was watching The Incredibles for the, I think it was number 583 times that I've seen it. And there's that great scene where Elastigirl tells her husband, she says, "Yeah, okay, go out and save the world one insurance policy at a time." You know, and he's had to lay down his heroic nature, and it's just, he just, you know, the poor guy's dying on the inside. There's something in us that wants adventure. God wired us that way, especially men. And we can't do it by one insurance policy at a time. Delay and dream was our last two words. We've been spending quite a bit of time here. We spend most of our lives waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. It's in that parenthesis that we live. And that's where all sorts of stuff takes place. That's where doubt tries to creep in, anxiety and fear. And there's certain distractions when we're in that place that the enemy comes, our flesh, culture, tries to point us in the wrong direction. And that's one, we said one of those distractions is when we begin to look for instantaneous results. We got to have it now. And Jesus so clearly said, you're going to sacrifice your life so that future generations might reap a harvest. And calling us to that. You know, this day that we celebrate, the people were, you know, Jane was saying, how 5 days later, how is it? If you ask yourself that question, how is it that they denied him? I mean, really? They were declaring him king and praising him and then saying, crucify him. One of the reasons is they thought he was going to take the throne, but he embraced the cross. That's what they were looking for. They thought he was going to take the throne, but he embraced the cross. And that happens to us. This is where the tension is. We get in that place of waiting, and we want to get back on the throne. Get me off this cross and put me back on the throne. And we want to start taking matters into our own hands. And it gets ugly, doesn't it? I was thinking of Saul. Samuel said, wait 7 days, and he started getting nervous. And he didn't wait, and he did the sacrifice himself. He lost his kingdom. How often we try to take matters in our own hands, relationships. We have a lonely place in our heart, and we get in a relationship that we should have never been in. Putting ourselves back on the throne. Maybe in our spending, we want something, so we go in debt to get it. Instead of waiting and allowing our Lord to provide. Very important that in this parenthesis we stay on the cross and don't try to ease back on the throne. Second distraction that we talked about is when we begin to focus on our desire for external results to the neglect of internal transformation. We start focusing on our desire for external results rather than the focus of internal transformation. Always, always, always the Lord is going to bring it back to us and how we're responding to a particular circumstance. But if this would change, if that would change, if this person would do that, if this would happen, all that external stuff that we obsess over, and the Holy Spirit is saying, let me deal with your heart. That is primary, that is first. They expected Him on this day that He was going to come in and deal with their enemy, the Romans. Another reason they rejected Him, and it wasn't about the Romans. The enemy was their own sin. And the chief battlefield will always be our hearts. Our hearts in any given situation. His desire. We said one of the applications we made is be quick to repent. Drop excuses. Just be quick to repent when we have attitudes, when we treat people wrong, when we neglect, when we get self-conscious and don't do what we ought to. Just quickly repent. It's good. It's a lifestyle, isn't it? And ask the Lord just to pour His life-giving presence back into us. The third and final distraction that we're going to talk about is when we begin to pursue false realities. When we begin to pursue false reality. What is a false reality? It's all realities that we begin to value and pursue other than values in the kingdom of God. Okay? All realities, false, and I'm going to talk about what these are. And this is not exhaustive, but these are certainly some of the false realities that the Jews were looking for in Christ. And when He didn't fulfill those, they denied Him. And we can do the same thing. reasons to why we miss him when we're looking for this king to come on a horse and the Savior comes on a donkey in a way that we didn't expect. When they looked onto this common laborer and this unsophisticated, unpolished group of followers, these are the ones that are going to accomplish the will of God. And they couldn't see because of all of these false realities that they had in front of them that eclipsed their ability to see and participate in the kingdom. We're going to talk about four false realities, and then we're going to look at the reality of the kingdom, some pictures that Jesus gives us of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, we're just going to look at one of them today. Yes, the series will continue. We're going to be talking about these false realities. I'm going to get to one reality today and one application. And then that's what we're going to take with us. Matthew chapter 13, looking at the parable of the sower. Jesus gives us pictures so that we might discover the kingdom. He gives us these parables so that we might discover the kingdom. In fact, he gives seven pictures of the kingdom, parables of the kingdom. Five have to do with the present reality of the kingdom. Two have to deal with the final judgment. And we won't cover all of them. We'll just cover one today. And we'll give a very brief summary, one point, and just one application. Let me read this, verses 1 through 9. That day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had not root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Before I get into, you know, application from this particular parable, let me make a statement about all of these parables, or most all of them. One word that characterizes them is activity. That we have the farmer that's planting, we have a cook that's preparing, we've got a jeweler who's searching. There's activity here. There's initiation here. Father Terry and I were at the hospital visiting Mr. Jimmy, and he was just saying, you know, when I got saved, he said, I went out and I found ministry. I mean, I just went out and found, I initiated. So the one of the challenges to us is be engaged. You know, most of the time it's our heart that catches up with our body. When we step out, when we obey and do what we are called to do, our hearts follow. Let me give you an example. Do you wake up every Sunday wanting to go to church? Probably not. And yet you force your body, this is where I need to go, and your heart usually catches up and says, thank God I needed that. And so the picture here is very one of initiation, of engaging, of searching. This parable here has many, many lessons, but I want to look at one, just a snapshot this morning. Yesterday at the, there's a ton of activity in the community gardens. Some of you may have seen that. Lloyd Nolan Parkway and the one on 44th Street, we had a bunch of folks out here, and they were weeding and they were plowing, and even there was some planting that occurred. But they started with the weeding process and the plowing process, turning the soil. Well, one Bible commentator that I read this week said that that's not the way they did it in Palestine. And that this really changed part of the way I viewed this parable. They didn't go and weed and till and then plant. The plowing came after the sowing. Think about that for a moment. The plowing came after the sowing. The way I've always looked at the parable is like he carelessly dropped some seed on the shallow place or on the rocky place. No, but that's not the picture here. He's sowing. The farmer goes out and sows on all types of soil, shallow, rocky, weedy soil, just spreading those seeds of life. And here's the false reality that I believe this truth exposes. Many of us miss the kingdom and opportunities to serve, to minister, to share, because we are looking for the perfectly plowed field. We want the best conditions. We're always looking for that perfectly plowed field, those best conditions, waiting for perfectly plowed fields while neglecting the field that is right beneath our feet. We want God to present a perfect opportunity for us while we are missing opportunities all around us. We develop a romanticized view of ministry that keeps us from engaging in our present reality. Here's the one simple application this morning. Here's our simple call. It's difficult, but it's simple. We are called to sow seed everywhere under all conditions. I want that to ring in your ears all day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We are called to sow the seeds of the kingdom everywhere under all conditions. One of the more difficult mission fields that I found in my life was in college. It was very hard. The soccer team, and it was sort of one of those mission fields I couldn't escape because it was paying for my college. It was tough. I'm talking hard soil, a lot of arrogance and pride. And I didn't see one person come to Christ during that time. But it was years later that I keep bumping into these guys, and they thank me. I'm in Christ, and I'm in church, and I'm married, and thank you for your example. You know, there's just a truth there, and the truth in this parable is the cultivation continues. And I want you to take this promise for your loved ones and your friends, those you're bringing before the throne of grace, that the cultivation continues. Yes, your effort, but not just your effort. The Holy Spirit uses others. He uses circumstances. He's always busy doing the work of the kingdom. And that's a promise that we can all hold on to. Our mission, very simple, sowing the seeds of the kingdom everywhere under all conditions. Recently, we've been challenged as neighbors in Fairfield to get to know our neighbors, to step out and to go and greet and meet and gather together. Gates was telling me at one of these gatherings, it's usually pretty simple. It was at a barbecue, and he introduced two people. They got to know each other. They've been living two doors down from one another for 15 years. And how easy it is for us just to go and just be about our business and not get to know our neighbor, love our neighbor, sow the seeds of the kingdom to our neighbor. We have an opportunity Monday night, 6 o'clock, Christ Church, to gather together as citizens and get to know our neighbor. It takes intentionality, and it will at times get in the way of our agenda. What we want to accomplish, what we thought we needed to do that day or that evening. It takes initiation, engagement, effort. Parents, I want to encourage you to continue to sow the seeds of the kingdom in your homes. And I know there's times it's like, they're not listening. But, you know, here's the thing. I don't ever remember as a kid going up to my dad and saying, tell me what I must do to be saved, you know. Or, preach to me the words of the kingdom. I didn't want to hear him. You know, or her. I wanted to, I want to play my fill in the blank Atari. That was cool, 2600. Back when graphics were simple. I was trying to follow the example of Robert Mayo. My cross is bothering me. The other day, and I've been trying to print out the gospel reading and post it in the house so everybody will read it. Remember, that's our first challenge. Our first church-wide goal is to read the gospel, right? But Robert reads them to his kids and has his time of devotion. And so I said, I'm going to do this. And Millie was actually recovering from a migraine, so I was up kind of doing the morning thing. And so I sit down and, sooner we sit down, there's arguing going on. Simeon runs into the room, is demanding breakfast, and I'm like, what's the use? Are you kidding? They're not going to hear this. That's not the point. Sow the seeds of the kingdom. Sow the seeds of the kingdom. Guess who provides the increase? He does. We're supposed to sow the seeds of the kingdom everywhere in all conditions. Young people, I want to issue a challenge to you this morning. You've got a responsibility. You have a responsibility because you have more influence over your peers than their parents do now in this season of life. You understand what I'm saying? My son Caleb would rather listen to you than to me. That's okay, Nathaniel, that's okay. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Sow the seeds of the kingdom in each other's lives. Encourage each other to be pure and to follow Jesus and to have compassion for people. Encourage this in one another. Ask for the courage to overcome. Maybe you won't be liked as much, or maybe you'll be laughed at. Sow the seeds of the kingdom everywhere under all conditions. I would much rather preach the gospel to a young person at Restoration Academy than a kid roaming these streets in black and red, the local gang colors. But I am called to sow the seeds of the kingdom everywhere under all conditions. Hard soil and weedy and thorny and doesn't matter where it is. You know, we've been praying for renewal and revival. Let me tell you what renewal and revival looks like. It's when you and I are engaged in the moment in every conversation with every person sowing the seeds of the kingdom. That's what revival looks like. Not when the preacher gets hyped up. It's when you and I are engaged in every conversation, every moment with every person sowing the seeds of the kingdom. And I'm not saying you have to cram the four spiritual laws down their throat. That's not the point here. The Holy Spirit will lead you. It might be a greeting, a kind word. But eventually, it ought to be a gentle invitation to the greatest promise. About 2 hours ago, we had this eruption happened in my living room. And the kids started saying, "The claw, the claw, the claw." Toy Story 3, you remember the moment where the toys are about to go into the fire. You know, and the claw comes down and reaches down and rescues these toys. And Isaac's running around, "The claw, the claw." And I run into the room, "The claw, the claw." It's true. God reached down and rescued us from our own self-imposed hell. I mean, that's the promise. It's amazing that the Son of Man entered Jerusalem and chose the cross, not the throne, to take on the judgment that I deserve so I could be free and forgiven and whole. That's our story. We can't wait to the perfect moment and the best conditions. We must sow the seeds of the kingdom all times, everywhere, all places, all conditions. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All you're going to remember is the claw, the claw. That's okay. I was in the rubrics. That's a fancy term. In the Book of Common Prayer, we were told that due to the beginning of the service, we don't have to do the creed and the confession. And you know me, that was a perfect opportunity. So the peace of the Lord be with you. Let us greet one another with God.